This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Welcome back. This is hour number two. This is Kathy, and I'm with Sharon, and we are teaching a class on gardening and food preservation and how we do it and our mistakes and our successes. Sorry, Sharon, I got a little long-winded there. I wanted to make one comment about tomatoes and ask you, do you rotate where you put your tomatoes every year?
Yeah, I actually do. We have a really large greenhouse, 40 feet long. It's 12 by 40, and it's one of those hoop ones because we can get frost at any time in summer up here at this elevation. Yeah, I move them from one side to the other just because okay. I think it's healthier for them. I was going to bring up the idea of the leaves because I have collected those too. We have our county landfill. They have a lot where they put all the leaves that they gather through the summer. People can rake their leaves into the streets, and the county will come along and pick them up in some places. So they let them set all winter, and they'll compost. And if you call them and get there early enough, you can drive to their lot, and they'll actually load your pickup with composted leaves. And sometimes there's some trash in there. You have to pull it out because it just, you know, got picked up. But we use that to help our gardens at first, our beds. And I was going to say mulch is really helpful for conserving water. Like you said, like your tomatoes need water. We totally do need that. My husband's really good at watering our garden. It's not my favorite thing to do. So he does that, and I tend to do the weeding and more weeding and planting. We work together, but I tend to do more of the planting and weeding. He does more of the watering, which is a good trade for me. But I would suggest that if you can, you get some good hoses. Sometimes you can find some pretty decent ones at people who are moving or elderly people. But personally, last year I just went to Costco, and we finally decided just to invest in some good hoses. They have some constructor type, they're heavy duty hoses, and I spoke to one of the members there, and he said he'd had his for 5 years and they were wonderful. So I picked up more and I bought another row today because you really do want to be able to water your plants, and it's a real hassle if you don't have good hoses or ones that are leaking. And there are repair kits, but I would suggest that if you can get the money, just buy some good heavy duty hoses, and I would think that Costco would be your better place to buy them for the price. And if you mulch your plants, which we've done before, this little story, Ms. Truce, one thing that I sometimes get a tad opinionated. But anyway, we had a garden way back, and my husband had read about mulching, and I grew up in Oregon. Nobody ever mulches anything, okay? And I just thought that, oh, yeah, right, so much. So we took about half our beds, and he mulched half of the raised beds we had and left the others. And I could not believe how abundant the crop was in the stuff that we mulched. So I became a believer in mulching, okay? We do not mulch everything, but we do mulch a lot. And so if you can, I would suggest you do that. And the other thing about cardboard, it's wonderful. They have a book called Lasagna Gardening. You start out with heavy cardboard, and you layer all this stuff, and you grow a little bit of dirt on top, and it'll grow, and it'll take hard pan dirt and make it really soft over time. But if you think you want to garden more, say, for next year, you could put heavy cardboard down and just weight it down with something. And over the summer, it will it'll break down the soil underneath. It'll make it really moist, and it'll kill the weeds off. And yet the water will still get through the cardboard. You would want to at least layer two or three layers, or at least like the We have a furniture store, and you can get the boxes from them, and we break them down, and we can use that for the grounds. So if you were thinking you would want to expand your garden next year, that's a really good way to soften the soil and make it more workable and kill the weeds. So also, you were talking about saving all this stuff, and it's funny because we save a whole lot of stuff too. But coffee grounds are incredibly good for your garden, and the worms really like them. So if you make your own coffee and grind it and stuff, keeping the coffee grounds is just a really good idea also.
Yeah, all those ideas are wonderful, Sharon. The leaves are just amazing for the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about going into like a wood, if you go in there and you would lift up the leaves or anything around the base of the trees, that dirt almost always is just beautiful because it's years and years of composted matter and leaves. And they're, to me, I mean, yeah, you can buy like the hardwood mulch, but I don't think there's any comparison to getting composted leaves, and it enriches your soil. So
I agree.
That's just, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to bring up was right now in most climates, Amazon 5, you can put in your seeds if you haven't done it yet. And a lot of the easy seeds to grow are peas, lettuce, beets, carrots, cucumbers, corn, and radishes. So those are easy. They germinate well. And one of the things that I learned actually from my brother, my husband had some thin boards, and they were only, I think it was particle board, maybe half inch thick, and he had some narrow pieces left, and I asked him to save those for me. So what I do is I put my seeds in, and I water them very lightly, and then I put the board on top, just set it on top, no weight or anything, and then I check it every few days, and as soon as you see them start to sprout, then I pull those boards off. And that has helped me quite a bit from the rain. I've had rain wash them out. When we get like a really bad thunderstorm, I'll put seeds in, and then it washes everything away. So if you have long, thin boards, I save those too in my barn, and then when I seed, I put those in there. And now the other thing that you can do, like if you have carpeting, some people cut strips, like old carpeting, and they put that in between their rows so they can walk. Now, it's not going to break down like leaves, but if that's your only option, it's something that helps to keep the weeds out. If you have like a long row, you could just roll it out there and throw it out at the end of the year. So that's something I wanted to get in there too, with putting the seeds in right now. And then especially with your lettuce and your peas, you can plant them like this week, plant it like a row, and then maybe wait a week or 10 days and then plant some more so that you kind of have succession planning. So they'll last, but then once it gets too hot, they won't survive probably past July. But last year what I did was I let some of them go to seed, and then I saved the seeds. And actually, I've got about a dozen plants that reseeded themselves out there. I'm already taking leaves off of them.
I used to plant my spinach all in one area, and it would reseed every year. I would plant some more, but it would reseed in clumps, so you'd have like five little spinach plants coming up. So once I got about, an inch, probably 2 inches, inch and a half, 2 inches tall, I would just respread them out around, so I kind of save seeds that way. But it also acclimates to your environment really well then, if you can keep using your own seeds. And it grows better. So I do that. I have done that with the spinach. And, there's a book on seed saving. Actually, 1 year I used carrots. You have to winter them over, then you replant them, and they'll seed that year. And it actually worked really well. Unfortunately, it wasn't really the type of carrot I ideally cared to do. So I'm trying different kinds to figure out what I like best. And when I do, then I'm going to try to winter that carrot over and create my own carrot seeds. So, let them do it. But it's kind of fun to play around with if you can get your own seeds and replant them. It really is. But I would suggest first that you just try to start growing stuff. I really believe that having a good garden will be extremely helpful down the road. You know, during the Depression, lots of people had their little gardens. During the war, they had the victory gardens. Throughout history, people have usually had gardens that had any land. And we've gotten away from that with this just-in-time delivery, and we can get stuff from South America anytime we want. But I do believe with what I see, well, we already seen inflation, and there's a lot of predictions that it's going to be much worse, that having a garden could really offset your budget. Plus, it would create a lot better nutrition and healthier food for you than the stuff that's been shipped for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, you know, kept in those special storage things. They're going to lose some of the nutrition the longer you store it. So, but I enjoy it. I love watching little plants come up. And I, like I said, probably my most favorite thing is just growing the tomatoes, because there's just something really satisfying seeing those nice big red tomatoes hanging from the vines. So I feel that people have kind of lost the joy of gardening because they haven't maybe even experienced it. And I do think there's a lot of joy. And yes, there is work. But honestly, if you mulch it, you won't have near the weeds that you think you would. You know, and you can even just mulch your cardboard, honestly. You can just put pieces of cardboard around your plant, and that'll keep it down. But leaves are better because the leaves do amazing. I put them around my shrubs, and they just took off, you know. So if you can round them up, it's really good. And this fall, if you can be a little proactive and grab bags of that stuff, yeah, it's great compost.
Hey, I'm sure people thought that I was a lunatic going and taking their leaves, because they would look out there. Some people looked out their windows. I kind of waved like, it's okay, I'm just taking your leaves. But they were chopped up so fine, and they were like, they're just beautiful. And it's like I said, you'll just notice the worms and the ladybugs. And the other thing I wanted to encourage people to do is, like Sharon was talking about tomatoes, every couple days, just go out and look at your plants. See if there's a bug on them. You're going to get probably tomato hornworms a lot of times. And I know there's different things that you can do to prevent them. But if you can get them when they're real little, they won't clean your whole plant off. If you wait 2-3 days and you get a bunch of tomato hornworms, you're not going to have much left to that plant. They're going to eat all the fruit and all the tips. And, I mean, the plant normally survives. But
yeah.
I would recommend going out and checking and seeing if things are dry, if you have any bugs. Or just getting the weeds before they get too out of control. So, Sharon, talk to me about what you said about the carrots. Now, you said, do you plant them and then leave them there, and then in the spring they get seeds? Is that what you meant by getting the seeds the next year?
Well, for us, it gets too cold. It'll kill them. So
okay.
I took some and just wintered them over in my basement under some sand. I just round up some sand. And it was a little damp, and then the next year I replanted that, and then it makes seeds the second year on carrots. And I believe that cabbage is a lot like that, too. I haven't done that one. Yeah, you just kind of have to look up. You can get a couple books that are really good about it, or you can just look it up online. I mean, good grief, nowadays with the Internet, you can find anything, and it's, you know, right at your fingertips, literally. You know, I also grow, like you said, the radishes. I was going to say, the other thing I like to grow a lot is green beans. And they're, to me, they're very easy to grow, green beans are. And I personally have canned them, and then I've frozen some, and you can actually dry them if you want to store them for longer. But drying is going to give you a different texture, so I would probably lean towards freezing or canning them. And I hear the music again.
Okay, we'll pick up on the other side of the break.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This can be sliding. When you go to the season for 2 seconds during.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
I wanted to pick up on a couple things Sharon and I were talking about. I wanted to mention this other couple things, too, about trying to help you plant. I take a dowel, like a wooden dowel. It's probably about, you know, half an inch or a third of an inch diameter. And I mark it. I start out with a marker, and I start 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch, all the way up to 8 inches. That way, it's right in my garden bucket. And if I have to plant something that's 2 inches, I can just push it right down in the soil. And it's real nice for like planting peas and things like that, because it's just, it's about the right circle that you want around. And it's just a nice thing. It just makes it easier than you guessing how deep everything is. So I do have that in my little garden thing. My other comment I wanted to say is, like, herbs are a lot of times expensive. There's some that come back year after year, like thyme, and if you have it in the right climate, rosemary can come back. But I have a garden center that I go to, and you might want to call around and find out, but I can get a whole flat of herbs for $10.50. And that's 48 plants, and I can mix and match whether I'm doing vegetables or herbs. So I went and got probably three-quarters of a flat of herbs, and that was cheaper than me trying to start at some of the seeds for me. I just haven't had luck with starting some herbs. So I would call around, because I've seen them anywhere from, I think the cheapest I've seen them is $4 for a pot, all the way up to $8. And for me, it just was a no-brainer just to go by. I know right where to go where I'm at. So check around. If you can start them with seeds, that's great. But you know, that's something that Sharon and I both, we dry our herbs. You can do them, like she said, put them on a screen and put them in a warm window. I'd use my dehydrator quite a bit. Some of them, I like oregano, I'll put them in a paper bag and put them in the sun, and they dry in a day or two. So, okay, Sharon, I wanted to get back with you and ask you about beans and what you do with your green beans, like what successes, how do you get good green beans?
I don't know. They just grow well for me. I can't tell you. I just put them in the ground. We water. If I think of it, we get mulch on them. I tend to plant them close enough that they stay pretty dense. You don't want them too, too close, but we just, I don't know. We just have really good success. If you didn't care, I was going to jump to broccoli and cauliflower and stuff like that. And I was going to say that I tend to grow some onions right around my broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, those type of things. And it does, and cabbages, it does tend to deter bugs. It does not keep them completely from getting wormy, but it definitely makes a big dent in it. I have found that that's real helpful for me. And if you can mulch around those plants, they do much better because it just, they need a lot of water and they just do a better job. We grow a lot of broccoli because we both like it, and I grow some cauliflower because I like it, and we grow cabbage, and we attempt to make sauerkraut, and I must say that's not something we've been terribly successful at, but we keep trying. We get a little limited success sometimes. I guess it's just a learning curve that I have not quite conquered yet. I did take some cabbage, though, and just dry it so I could throw it into some various hearty soups and stews like that. Not too much, unless you love the taste of cabbage, but it does add some nutrition, and it stores quite well to do that. And then broccoli, I usually just freeze, but I have dried some. But what I thought I was going to mention, too, because I didn't know this until last year, so it shows what I don't know yet, you can eat the leaves on those plants, like broccoli leaves and cabbage leaves and all those. You can cut them, and you can put them in strips and put them in stir-fry, and they're really quite edible. Or you can dehydrate them, turn them into a powder. Like if you liked broccoli soup, you could add more of the flavor by just using the powdered broccoli as well as maybe some little pieces of frozen broccoli. So it saves space, but it also creates nutrition. And we grow because we enjoy, but we're also, like I said, with things coming like that, we're kind of pushing what is more nutritious and what would be helpful. So that's another thing, just kind of interesting to know. We also have chickens, and so whatever I don't use, I can just spin the great big broccoli leaves sometimes down a little bit, so I'll spend more time on putting its energy into the fruits, and then I throw those out to the chickens and ducks that we have. But I thought it might be interesting because I didn't know they were even edible till last year.
That's great information. I got a couple comments on the broccoli and the cabbage when we get back, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Senator Elizabeth Warren, the Democrat from Massachusetts, reacted to Facebook's review board's denial to reinstate former President Trump's account by saying that Facebook is more powerful than the government. And part of the way we have to address that is to implement government regulations so we can actually hear the truth for people. A Hong Kong court has sentenced Joshua Wong and three other activists to between 4 and 10 months in prison for participating in an unauthorized rally last year to commemorate the 1989 Tiananmen Square crackdown. Among the 26 charged over the rally, the four pleaded guilty and were sentenced Thursday. Other defendants are scheduled to appear in court in June. SpaceX achieved the first successful touchdown of its prototype Starship rocket during the latest test flight in the Next Generation launch vehicle from South Texas on Wednesday. Four previous landing attempts had ended in spectacular explosions. USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
As the pandemic in the United States appears to be winding down with fewer new cases and deaths among Americans, some leaders are using what-if scenarios to dictate mandates in some parts of the country. Cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough tells Fox News his perspective of the COVID-19 response.
Well, what's really changed the calculus in the whole pandemic is early treatment for COVID-19. There's now 10 national telemedicine services, 15 regional services, 250 treating doctors across the United States. The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons has a home treatment guide. We're using multiple drugs in combination to reduce the spread of illness and reduce hospitalizations and deaths. So that's changed everything. Texas has been an early treatment state all the way through. We never closed down. We're in the middle of the pack in terms of cases and mortality. And we've moved on. Now, the overall approach to the pandemic, I think, has been way too much focused on masks and vaccines. Neither one of those helped sick patients with COVID-19. That's playing defense. And in my view, the big change was when we had the Senate hearings in November, we started playing offense.
Dr. McCullough explains the new FDA clear test.
Well, the T-cell technologies have dramatically improved. There's an FDA-cleared test now that one can actually have the DNA from their T-cells extracted and tested to see if, in fact, there has been prior exposure to COVID-19 and inferred immunity.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Welcome back. This is Kathy with Karen. I wanted to mention a couple things. I wanted to mention, don't forget to ask your neighbors and your friends, either for advice or if they have perennials. I recently had a friend that was from Tennessee, and I gave him a whole bunch of my walking onions. They kind of look like a green onion, and they come back every year. I don't know the technical name. All I know is they were given to me, and they were called walking onions. And what they are is they come back and they start out real small, and it's best to pick them when they're about the size of a green onion, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe double the size. But
and then you let them go. You leave a small patch of them, let them go, and they'll get little seeds on the top, like little bulbets on the top. And then I've been so bad lately some years where it gets really cold and I can't get out there. I just cut them off and let them fall on the ground, and they'll just re-root right there. And I have a pretty, probably about a 3-foot patch out there right now that I need to thin out. So that's something that you can do, is don't be afraid to ask your neighbors. One of the things I wanted to mention too, if you can look at, if you have them or you look at garage sales or along the side of the road, your peas and cucumbers all need to climb. So I have a couple trellises outside that I use for some of them. I also have a slip rail fence, and I let my peas grow up on those, and I tie them up just to hold them until they get established. But you can also use, they make little spiral things, too, that you put in the ground, and then the peas can grow up there. So there's another thing. People use them for flowers, climbing flowers. I'm not sure of the pronunciation. I believe it's called an obelisk, but it kind of has like four, kind of looks like an upside-down tomato cage. And you can let things grow up there. I have a couple of those in my barn. So I make use of all the things that you have. And I guess why I'm saying this is just so you save money. You don't have to go out and buy all this stuff. If you just kind of keep your eyes open and look. But, Sharon, you were talking about broccoli. Well, someday if I don't show up, my neighbors probably call the funny farm, because I keep a fly swatter out there. And when I'm out there and those cabbage moths are out there, you can never catch them. So I try to whack them with the fly swatter.
You know what? I was going to say, last year, I remember something else I did last year. I had no worms last year. Now, this could be coincidence because weather changes, but I also planted the flower alyssum around it. I put some plants around, and I had heard it deters those cabbage moths and stuff like that. So, you know, you can get a little six-pack usually at the, the little garden places, and they're not very expensive. So I just tried them out. So I think that also helps, too. I was thinking of something else. I don't know why I thought about with broccoli and onions, but I was thinking about growing your squash, pumpkins, and, like, watermelons and stuff. And I grew some watermelons and little cantaloupes just to see if I could do it in my greenhouse. But, you know, they take off like crazy. So I just pinched them back and didn't let them grow as long. And they tended to put side sprouts out and little, you know, shoots, side shoots. And so we got a few, and I just wanted to see if I could grow them or not. And so that is something you don't have to be too worried about, pinching some of those things back if you don't want them to take off, because they'll grow like 10 feet long if you let them. So if you're just trying to condense them, just pinch off the ends and they'll put out little side shoots. So just a thought.
That's a great idea. Sharon, I wanted to mention, you were talking about broccoli. And, one of the things that we were talking about with the worms is they annihilated my kale last year. It was doing really well. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but I went out one day and it was just stripped. I mean, there were quite a few of the little worms. So they must have gotten in there when I didn't see them. They get under the leaves, and if you don't look quickly, or they're in the crooks, and you can't see them little until they get bigger. But you were talking about broccoli, and I like to do sprouting. Now, that's the inside thing, but it just goes to show. I have two jars, and then I have one that has three trays. And you can get online. It's very easy. The secret is to rinse the seeds and drain them. Rinse them and drain them. In about 3 or 4 or 5 days, you'll have sprouts. But I recently got a 2.5 pound of organic broccoli sprouts for $40. Now, that sounds like a lot, but that'll make a ton of broccoli sprouts. And the nutrients in a broccoli sprout, especially from like buying something in the store, it's like 100 times more. It's just so much more nutrient dense. So I like to grow sprouts right now, especially because everything is so expensive in the store. It doesn't taste that good. So I've been growing like clover and mung beans and broccoli sprouts and alfalfa sprouts. You can put them on salads and you can put them on sandwiches. And I just snack on them sometimes. They're really good if you like that flavor. It's a great way to get nutrients, and you're getting something really good for you. But that was a really good price, the price that I got, because I think it was like $25 off, which I've never seen it that cheap. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to get these. So that, I wanted to mention that because I was taking notes when you were talking, but I'll try the alyssum around my those broccoli and the kale plant.
Yeah, I didn't have worms last year. I have gotten them occasionally. I haven't had them hit the kale, but that's something to consider. Yeah, I bought a bunch of broccoli sprouting seeds through Azure Co-op, and they were $14.41 for a pound, organic. But I like them. I also like, it's kind of a matter of what you like, but I take the mung beans, the sprouting mung, M-U-N-G beans, and I think they taste delicious. They remind me of fresh peas, and I've sprouted them in the past. And there's some pretty cute little sprouting systems, but I've just taken jars, wide-mouth jars, and put a netting across it, a real thin netting, you know, so it breathes a little, rinsed them, and started them that way. And I used to sprout a whole lot of stuff. So I actually used to sprout a whole bunch of wheat for my chickens, too, in the winter to give them more nutrition.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, but sprouting is a great idea for, I mean, this is exactly gardening, but it can continue all winter. And, you know, as prices get higher and higher, it might get really cost prohibitive to buy salad makings in the winter. It really could be. And so that's one of the reasons I bought these right now, because I'm trying to be proactive for what I see coming. And if not, I'll eat them anyway. But I think that what we've been talking about, inflation coming, is starting to become very visible if you start paying attention to what's out there. And everything I'm hearing is that it's going to get a lot worse. But even if it didn't get a lot worse, it's already gotten worse. And things just pretty much never go down in price. They just keep going up. And once they hit that level, they don't drop back down, hardly ever. And you and I would know that from years of following budgets and stuff like that and prices. So I feel that, you know, it's a good idea to take advantage of what you can. And I would encourage getting a bunch of sprouting seeds, too, and start, you know, playing around with it, see how it works for you. And then, like I said, you know, we both see the huge benefits of garden. Even if you just threw some lettuces and some greens like that in and let them pop up, you could do it in container gardens, lettuce, and a lot of those little greens, they don't require real deep roots. So you had about a 6-8 inch deep pot, you probably could grow them, especially lettuces, you can. Kale has a little bit longer of a root, but say 8 inches, you probably can get by with that even. So you could even just do small little plots and try it, and then at least you'd have fresh lettuce, and, you know, you could start reaping the benefits of growing your own food. And, it is a little bit of work, but especially if you put mulch around it, it really cuts back the weeding time. And they do have to be watered. And if you just do a regular garden, you could probably run of those rotating water sprinklers on. Because of our raised beds, at this point, it's more productive for us to hand water, and it's mostly my husband does it, and he's willing to stand out there and do it. So that's very nice. But it doesn't have to take hours to do this. It just takes a little bit of your time. And most people that I know are not productive in the evening. They sit around and watch TV. Okay, or go on the computer. And so you say you take out a half hour of that time, if even that, and you work in your garden a little bit. You get fresh air, you get sunshine, and then you end up with better food to eat. And then you will feel, I think it gives you self-confidence knowing that, hey, I can feed my family even if I can't go to the store. So that's just my way of thinking. I don't know how you feel about it.
Oh, I think it's therapeutic, too. It's work. Yeah. You know, you're not going to have nice nails and all that. But it's so rewarding to grow your garden, to grow food that you've eaten. And what I like to do is I like to pass it down. I'm showing my grandchildren when they come over. This is a tomato, and these are where raspberries come from. An onion is in the ground, and we'll pull it out, and you can see what it looks like, and these are the roots. And I think I've kind of instilled that. They enjoy coming over, and they have their little garden gloves, and so I give them a little area where they can dig. So I like it for that, too. It's just, and it's healthier. I don't know. Maybe some people don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it as long as I can till I can't get my hands in the dirt anymore. But Sharon, you were talking about lettuce. Now, I sometimes use, they're like long and rectangular. They look like window boxes. Those are really nice for starting lettuce in them. And I kept it right by the back door. And, you know, one year I didn't have my garden ready when we first moved in, and I had three or four of them, and I had lettuce in one and spinach in another. And actually, they did really well in those. So if you don't have a plot for that, you can use those little they look like window boxes. They're probably about 4 or 5 inches wide, and they're probably about 20 inches long. And people put them on their porch and stuff. But you could put lettuce in there, and who cares whether it's lettuce or it's a flower.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things. You can use almost any kind of container as long as it has some drainage, but that would look really attractive. Those would be really nice. Yeah, a lot of it's the attitude that I talk about, because this is the way I live my life. It's not, I can't, but how can I? Okay. What could I do? What could I use? And the internet with YouTubes and stuff, goodness sake, the YouTube channels, it's a vast wealth of information. I mean, just so many ideas. And you just spend a little time on that, and you can figure out all kinds of ways. Like, you and I like to reuse things, like the window boxes or, you know, various containers. Like, we have ducks, and so I have a wading pool for them. Well, after having this wading pool about 3 years, it's developed cracks and holes in it. And so I'm going to be turning it into the bed in my garden, and I'm going to put strawberries. I'm going to put my little strawberry runners in there and try to grow strawberries in it, because, you know, it's a automatic raised bed.
So, yeah.
I'm planning to, my strawberries are just starting to pop up, the little leaves and stuff, so I'm going to, you know, thin them out and put them in there is my plan. But there are all kinds of ways to do stuff, and it is rewarding, I think, to see cool little plants come up. And then you do have to realize that there will be some failures, okay? And some years are better. We've always grown broccoli like last crazy, never had a trouble, and then last year was a little challenging. So it's just the way it is.
Yeah, and you learn. Every year you learn. We'll be right back.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Welcome back. Karen, I wanted to ask you, we didn't really get into it that much, but I wanted your thoughts on dehydrating. Just to kind of give me your, what do you dehydrate, how do you do it, and maybe kind of teach people the benefits of it?
Yeah, you know, that is a huge topic, isn't it? I will say that I'll tell you, but I was going to just say what you said before. I would suggest people grow when you're back in the garden. Grow what you like. Like, I have not found a way I like turnips. I do not grow turnips, okay? They grow well, but why grow them if I don't like them? So I dehydrate all kinds of stuff. I like to I dehydrate my peppers a lot of times because they're easy to throw into foods. And I have dehydrated some corn because you can throw that. I also last year we grew some corn that was supposed to be for my like corn meal. I found that it wasn't that terribly flavorful, and so I would probably use it for like corn tortillas or something like that, that you wouldn't need a real cornish taste. I don't know. I'm going to try a different kind this year. You can dry your peas. I usually don't. I freeze them. I like fresh peas. I dry a lot of things like the kale and squash and chard because I add it into foods. I dry lots of onions, and I have dried my garlic. Last year I canned garlic by putting it in white vinegar, and that I peeled it and put it in there, and that actually was pretty successful because fresh garlic, to me, to have to get the garlic press out and clean it all up is kind of tedious. And so I'm trying to figure out ways to keep it fresher and yet easy to put into my food so it doesn't require a lot of work. But I have just dried it and powdered it, which is pretty handy. I use my dehydrator for a lot of that, but for, like, the greens and that kind of thing. Like, I used to grow herbs, too. So, like, oregano, I would just lay these stems on those greens and let them dry, and then you just strip the leaves, just strip them down to get the leaves off of that. And I did that with a lot of the branchy-type things. I've dehydrated even raspberry leaves for tea, and I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. The thing about drying is it will last forever, especially if you put it in jars and use a vacuum packer. But I actually just put it in jars before with the lid on it and kept it in a cooler place, and it was good for years, literally years. So I'm leaning towards dehydrating things that I think that I could use more often because it doesn't take up so much space and it stores for so long. And then it leaves me more room for the things I like to can, like I like to do salsa and things like that. But it is a really good way to store it. Indians used to do it. I mean, people have done this throughout years. If you don't have canning jars and canning lids that have been difficult to come by, you can dehydrate all kinds of stuff, and they really reconstitute quite well. Do you have anything that you normally dry yourself?
Yeah, apples. I slice apples real thin on my food processor. Tomatoes, I do Romas or meaty ones normally, or I do the little, I've kind of explained it before, but I do the cherry tomatoes where I cut them in half and I sprinkle a little olive oil and salt on them and I sun dry them. I do a lot of my herbs, zucchini, celery. You were talking about raspberry leaves, which I do, but mint, I do my mint too. Boy, does that taste good. And the lemon verbena, you can make a nice tea. It's a real nice soothing tea. I even do like liver for my dog. I put it on a piece of parchment paper. It dries and then I break it up in little small pieces for treats, or you can do chicken. But you got to watch the meat. You know, it's got to be thin. I don't do any big old chunks of meat on there. I'd be afraid it'd get moldy, but the liver's real thin and it's a good treat for her. But all the herbs too, I do, I'm like you, I do marjoram and basil and oregano, all the mints and the lavender and the rosemary, those, and I just take them. I have like a little ninja cup that fits on a food processor, or it's a blender, and I fill it about a half the way through and pulse it a few times, and boy, that does a beautiful job of just getting the herbs just right. I just have like one of them little, it's like you'd use it for a smoothie, one of those kind of cups fits right on there, and I just pulse it, and then I either put them in food saver bags, or I freeze them, or I put them in like canning jars, but they keep a long time. I think when you do them yourself, for some reason, they just seem like they keep a lot longer than when you buy them in the store.
I agree. Yeah, I've done a lot of herbs in the past. In fact, I started some this year to try start and get back into doing more of that, because the fresh herbs that even you just dehydrate them, they just have a more powerful flavor. I mean, it's just much nicer. It really is. Yeah, I dehydrate a lot. I make turkey in my dehydrator, too, which is fun. But, yeah, there's just so many things to do. We could talk for hours, though, because we do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but, Sharon and I, we think a lot alike. And, Sharon, I appreciate all your advice and your help. And I've learned a few things from you today, so I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate yours. I like the idea of using the dowel, so I have to try that next.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.